had a wonderful service, and the worship was so good. And when I testified later, after the pastor had spoken, I said that the Lord had shown me an eye. While we were worshiping, I saw an eye. It wasn't, my eyes were closed. And I had been doing this, and I went to Brother Bill and talked to him about it and had some counseling and asked him to pray for me because I wanted to understand what the Lord was speaking, because I had seen this eye many times. And just about every time I see it in the spirit, it's different. So I'm thinking, Lord, if you're trying to tell me something, I need to know what you're saying, because everything that we do and say and what God gives us is for the edification of the body. So since I was in this body of believers and I've seen the eye twice during worship when I was praying, I thought, now I know there's times when I would see the eye and I'd think, this is just me. But when you're in prayer and you're worshiping and you see something, you can pretty much be sure that it's coming from God. It's something that he wants to relate to help us. So I asked Brother Bill about it, and I asked him to pray for me that God would open my eyes to understand what he's speaking, if it's something for us. And so I know Brother Bill prayed. I prayed too. And guess what? God gave me some scriptures, and he began to minister to me about this. And I said, Lord, if this is what you want to give me, then I want the understanding, and I want this to operate in my life. Now, I don't know what category you would put this under, if you were going to name it as a gift. But Pastor wasn't surprised. He said that this had happened to others before. So just thank God. And I know you're going to be blessed by the word, because it really did bless me. And in this vision that I had, I'm just going to call it a vision, I saw the complete eye. It was right in front of me. My eyes were closed, and it would be like I was looking into your eye. I saw the eyelashes. I saw all the parts of the eye, the white, the pupil, and around the pupil of the eye. Now, this happens in a matter of seconds. It's not like you're studying this, but I saw a flicker, and it was like a ray of light that was coming from the pupil of the eye. And if you was here that Sunday morning and heard the message that was spoken to us, it came forth, ye are the light of the world. And there was more to it. I don't remember all of it. But this is the light coming through the eye is medically correct, because I did a little bit of study on the eye. And it says that the pupil of the eye is aperture in the iris that which the rays of light pass through. So tonight we're going to talk about the light of our life. And I've always heard that the eyes are the window to the soul. And I thought, now I've heard that a lot, and I know that is to be true, but that's not really scriptural. It doesn't exactly say that per se in the Word of God, but we know that you can tell by a person's countenance, by their eyes, when they have joy and when they're sad and when they're grieving. You can just look at a person and the eyes will tell the story. And so the eyes have to be connected to the soul. And so the Lord, after I'd asked Brother Bill to pray for me, he gave me a scripture, and it's in the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter, and the 22nd and 23rd verse. It said, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. But if the eye be evil, the whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkened? So I just said how that we can tell by looking at each other the light. It's just the word. It's just so good. The light of the body is the eye. And now I've always been a person to look at people's eyes. I'm amazed by eyes. Maybe that's why the Lord is beginning to show me different eyes. Because when I see eyes, I don't see two eyes. I just see one. It's always one. But sometimes the eye's closed. And I don't know what that means yet. And sometimes it's cloudy. And sometimes it looks sick. And sometimes it has a twinkle in it. And you say, well, this is a lot of eyes you're seeing. Well, sometimes the only place I have seen them is when I'm praying. And in my prayer meeting, I have seen them when I have my ladies' prayer meeting. And I tell the girls, and we pray about certain things. But we're going to get more insight on it if I continue to see the eye. Now, listen, I'm not the only one that God's going to move upon in this way. This body, we've been talking and teaching about holiness and about coming together and being obedient to the Lord. If we offer ourselves, God is going to use us. And there's going to be things that may not ever happen to you before. But if your heart's prepared before the Lord, He will use you. And it'll be edification for the body of believers. I really believe that. And it says if the eye be single or the soul, seeing clearly with understanding and knowledge of the ways of God, the whole body can be full of light. The gospel or the light of God will come to those who are looking for it. He said for us to seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things would be added. We don't have to be in darkness. We can have the knowledge of the Lord. He will enlighten us. He will tell us. He will direct us. And no greater time in the history of man than right now, we need God's direction. Amen. We need to know what's going on Amen. Around us. Amen. We need to tune in to what He's saying. Amen. And we need the anointing in our life. We need to be a witness, a greater witness than we've ever been. It says if the eye is evil, then the soul will be in darkness, Amen. Which is the opposite of the light. The next verse says that man cannot serve two masters because he will love one and hate the other. Amen. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot walk in darkness and light. You'll have one or the other. You cannot be hot or cold. If you are and you get lukewarm, the Bible says that He will spew you out. There's no such thing as straddling the fence, as the old saying goes. You're either in or you're out. Bitter and sweet water does not come out of the same fountain. I didn't write all these scriptures down, but we know them to be true. You cannot walk in darkness and in light both. You're either one or the other. Matthew 5:29 says, if thine right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. If you've ever just read that, you might think, well, that's a little bit cruel, and that's a little bit crude to think about plucking your eye out if it offends you. It also talks about your hand. But we need to realize that this is a matter of life and death. It's our life. If we can't live we can live without an eye, but if it is causing us much offense, it's better to pluck it out and get rid of it. Not just the eye, but anything that would easily beset us. If we don't, our whole body could be cast into hell. It could cause us to sin that greatly. And you know, everybody, I don't care who you are, when you mention eyes and you mention sin, they always think about lust. Well, the eye, it's an inlet or an outlet of great deal of wickedness. It's not always just lust. Amen. But it could be. Walk in the Spirit, the Bible says, so you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that covers a lot of ground. A whole lot of ground. Let's go back to the book of Genesis and find out something about the light. The very first chapter. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without void. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and he called the darkness night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So we're finding out that God created in the days of creation, he created light. This is a natural light for day and for night. And he put the sun and the stars in the sky to give us that light during the day and the moon for the light at night. The light was created to take away the darkness. And I hope you're thinking about this. As I mentioned, darkness and light, darkness and light. Now, I believe that Thomas Edison invented the electric light bulb. Now, at least I'm going to give him credit for it because I didn't do no history and I didn't look it up. I just put it down because it popped into my head. So if you know, if that's correct, okay. And if it isn't, y'all just correct me, okay. But that's talking about the natural light. Now, if you turn these lights off in here, since there's no windows in here, it's going to be total darkness. You cannot see without some type of light. But we can't make light, but we can be light. Light means to render visibility. That's why we have light. Darkness is the opposite, and it brings gloom and no visibility. The purpose of light was to penetrate and do away with the darkness. Light exists just like God created it. You have light or you have darkness. Proverbs, the 4th chapter and the 18th verse, is talking about light. It says, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Proverbs 4:19 is talking about darkness. It says, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. How many know that the word talks a lot about the wicked, how that they work in darkness? Amen. You know, when you think about evil, you think about dark things, don't you? It just pops, it just comes to your mind. The word in Psalms 119:105 said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I love that scripture, and I quote it a lot. And, you know, sometimes I just look at my feet, and I just say, thank you, Lord, that your word is a light for my pathway. You know, our steps are ordered by the Lord. So he's not sending us out in the dark. He not only prepares the steps, the path to walk on and the steps, he puts a light there so we won't stumble. Amen. His ways are perfect. Yes. He is taking care of us. Amen? In the Old Testament, I said, Lord, I know there's a lot of things and scriptures about light in the New Testament. What about the Old Testament? And I just went to the book of Isaiah because that's one of my favorite books in the Old Testament. And in his prophecy, he was talking about the coming of Christ. In the 42nd chapter, he said that Jesus would be the light to the Gentiles. And he would bring prisoners out of darkness. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. And 2 Peter 1:19 says, the word is the light which God has sent into the world to expel the darkness. So that scripture in the New Testament backs up Isaiah's prophecy in the Old Testament. You know, people do not study the Old Testament because they don't think it's necessary. They don't think we have to have it. But we have to have every word, every jot, every tittle. We got to have the Word of God. And if you get in the Old Testament, it'll help you to understand the New Testament. Amen. I'm going to go to the book of John, St. John, the 1st chapter, and I'm going to read the first 4 verses. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. The same was in the beginning with God. This is talking about the Word being the light that God sent. Amen. His Son, His Son Jesus. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. You know what? It talks about light a lot. I found that out. Jesus came, sent by God. And He says in St. John 12:46, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on Me shall not abide in darkness. Verse 35 says, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Verse 36 says, while ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. That's what He wants us to be, is the children of light. Jesus was the light from the beginning, and He will remain the light through eternity. Jesus said in John 9:5, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. The whole time that He was spending with His disciples, He was teaching them. He was training them. He was getting them ready, because He was going back to the Father. He knew it all along. But He wanted to have them ready and equipped so that when He went back, they could pick up and carry on the work, the ministry. He said, the works He did, we would do, and greater. And if we're a disciple, we are to pick up and do that. He sent the disciples out to work. He knew who He was. He knew what He could do. And when He went back to heaven, He prayed for them that they would do the same work in His name. And the same about us. If we know Him, and we know what He can do, we may not be confident on what we can do, but the Word says we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. So we can do it. We can accomplish. I've said all of that to tell you this. After He went back to heaven, He did send us the Comforter, which we know, the Holy Ghost. But He gave not only His disciples a commission, He gave us a commission as well. He told us to go into the world and to be the light of the world. To go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. And you know, you can look up that word compel and you can get a lot of different definitions. But there's nothing that's going to compel anybody better than the light. What about Paul when he was on the road to Damascus, the great light that shined upon him and Jesus spoke to him and He commissioned him that day? He got Paul's attention. And if we carry the light of God and the love of Jesus Christ in our heart like we're supposed to do, we will be effective. We will be a witness. Amen. If we look around us today, we'll find out just how much light there is shining. We first have to receive Him. We have to believe that He is and that He can bring us out of darkness. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. Amen. And He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. And if we do that and we believe He's forgiven us, why can't we believe that He forgives others? Why can't we just say, okay, if they make a mistake, and they've repented, God has forgiven them, just like He has forgiven us. And you know what, Brother Bill, when you were preaching Sunday night about the grace, I kept hearing this in the back. I just kept hearing this saying, freely you have received, freely give. And I thought, God, you're talking about grace. Hey, we're not giving grace to others. We are tripping up because we receive grace and mercy. And it's everlasting. Amen. He's good to us. Yep. So we should be that way with our friends and our family. We should share a little bit of grace with them.
Amen.
Because he does.
Yes, he does.
We are to be like him. We then have to walk in the light. After we have him, we find him. 1 John 1 and 7. It says, if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Fellowship. What in the world is that? I'll tell you right now, the body of believers is making a great mistake. Because we're just hanging with our own. It's just our four, no more. But you know, the body of Christ, and I've heard all the preachers preaching this, and they're really on it now, that the church is going to come together in that. We're going to be that body of believers, one body, one blood, and we're going to work together because the born again and the redeemed of God are all going to the same place. And I don't know why we can't fellowship here and have, you know, just,
Amen.
It doesn't matter. If you're covered by the blood of Jesus, you're in that body. And you are my brother, and you are my sister. And we need to wake up and look around us. Verse 9 says, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now.
Amen.
He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling. So a lot of this is hinging on fellowship and how we treat our brothers and sisters.
Amen.
And then we have to spread the light. Once we receive the light and we start working on the light, we have to spread that light. The scripture that I'm going to go to next is Philippians 2, 14, 15, 16, and 17. We are the light of the world. I wonder sometimes if we believe it. Philippians 2, 14. Oh, let's read 13 too. For it is God which worketh in you to will and to do his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, and that I may not run in vain, neither labor in vain. It's exactly what he was speaking to us on that Sunday morning when we sang, "This Little Light of Mine." I've always heard that you could sing a lie as well as tell them one. This little light of mine. Is it shining? It better be shining. You know, we look around sometimes and we say to each other, what is happening to the church? Where is the body of believers? What's happening to the young people? You know, I read on the internet somewhere while I was studying that the statistics show that young people don't go to church anymore. And I thought, wow, we've lost them if they don't even desire to come to church anymore. We know what's happening in the communities and in the families and in the nation. The light that we are supposed to be is slowly fading away. When our nation took prayer and Bible reading out of the school, the light began to fade.
Amen.
When our leaders voted for abortion, the light faded even more.
Amen.
Now it's just one thing after another. Drugs, alcohol, perversion is taking over this country.
Amen.
I was listening to President Obama today, and he said, "We cannot let our enemies dim the light of this great country." And I said, "Oh, I wish you was there tonight, Mr. Obama." It's not our enemies that's dimming the light in this country.
Amen.
It has a whole lot to do with the leadership and the people that are in leadership.
Amen.
And the church as well. And the Christians as well. We can't put all the responsibility on them because we have failed.
Yes.
We're not shining the light. So therefore, the light is being snuffed out of this country.
Amen.
I'm not saying it's all over. There's still hope. As long as we have the Word of God and we have life within us and we can hear what thus saith the Lord, we can make it. We can make a change. That's why he's speaking to us the way he does. Every time Brother Bill gets up, every time the ministers get up and the word comes forth, we need to take it seriously. We need to tune in. You know, I have a new car, and I took Hannah out with me. And I said, "This for a new car, this is, it's got the sorriest radio I've ever, see, I've been driving that Corsica, and I've had no music, no radio, nothing for 6 years. So I was really excited about this car. It had a radio, and it's got a CD player. But that radio don't pick up nothing." So Hannah, she said, "Nanny, you have to tune it in." I said, "Oh, you know, well, I just thought it just turned it on, you know, and that's it." But I got to thinking about this when I was studying this lesson. She said, "See this little knob right here? You know, we have to tune in to what God's saying."
Amen.
You know, we think that the minister just gets up there sometimes, or the teacher, and they just throw the word out there, and everybody just scrambles for it. No, you have to tune in.
Amen.
If you're going to hear the word of God,
yeah,
you got to be like that radio. There's a lot of frequencies. You got to get on the right frequency. You got to get in there when the Holy Ghost begins to move and he begins to speak.
Yeah.
And you tune in and you begin to listen with your heart and say, "God, what do you want me to do in this service?
Right.
What can I do to be a blessing?" First you bless him and then he'll bless you every time. But I thought, well, that's really good. I'm glad I took Hannah with me because she got that radio straightened right up. Now, I don't know anything about it. She set it on the Christian channel for me and just programmed it for me. So all I got to do is push a little button. Praise God for new cars. It may look gloom and doom around us in our communities and our families and the things that are going on, but we still serve the same God. He has not changed. He's a mighty God. He's the giver of light in our life, and he's the giver of power for us to overcome. We can do it. We can make it. But we're going to have to brighten up. Just read that, just read about the 10 virgins in the Book of Matthew. You know, we used to sing, Brother Bill, I know you know this song, "Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray." Is that not an old song? Well, the church people said, "Us don't sing them old songs anymore," kind of like they did the New Testament. "Let's just move on and get better." Hey, this song is a prayer. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray.
Amen.
We better be getting our oil in the lamps. When the 10 virgins went out to meet the bridegroom, there was 5 foolish and 5 wise. The wise one had oil in their lamps, and they were ready. But the foolish was unprepared. If we are unprepared when the opportunity comes by, and we don't have that oil burning or that light shining in our life, we'll miss it. Amen. We'll miss it. Amen. Have you ever just, during the course of your day, went home and thought about what you said and what you done and how you could have missed it when you had an opportunity to witness to somebody? I'm always seeing Jack's before I see mine. I'll say, wow, you should have said this. Or you should have. He said, I can't think that fast. Well, it's easy for me to look at him and think of what he needs to say. But when the shoe's on, you know, my foot, it's different. But we need to be ready. We need to have the oil in our lamp so we can burn bright. You know what? They tell me that during the World War II, which my father fought in, and Jack's father was there too, fighting, that the wives and the mothers prayed all over this country. In fact, I grew up a little bit in Indiana. We stayed in Indiana for a while, but I've been close to the mountains pretty much. And they said the mountains were just full of people praying. And that you, in the coal mines, that they live in these little houses close to each other, you could hear people crying out to God, praying for the return of the men that were in the war. And it was the same thing with the Vietnam War. The mothers cried out to God for the return of their children. It's the same prayer we need to be praying right now. I don't hear people praying anymore. In fact, some people say, I don't like it when people pray out loud. I'm telling you, there's some people that just don't like nothing. Jack and I went to Florida to pastor a church, and what an experience. And, you know, he would give an altar call, and people would come forth to be prayed for, and I'd just softly play on the piano, and sometimes I would sing a little chorus, you know. Well, there was this gentleman there that came to church, and he told me, he said, stop that singing during the altar call. That's unnecessary. We don't need no music. We don't need no singing. So I thought, well, that's the first time I'd encountered that. So, you know, he tried to put a damper on the whole service by what he thought. And I thought, well, we don't have to have it, that's for sure. Because you can only come to God when the Spirit draws you anyway. It's not necessarily the singing, but it could be. If it's a spiritual person and they're singing with the Spirit and God is wooing someone to come to Him, it ain't going to hurt nothing, as I could see. But I don't know what we did about it, Jack. I don't remember. We wasn't there long enough. That was minor to what they did do. They finally called the cops on Jack and had us slowed out. Singing was not the issue, let me tell you. It wasn't my fault, it was Jack's. Sorry, honey, I just had to throw that in. Just had to tell them that. Anyway, they did call the cops on us. Jesus said, we were the light of the world. A city set on a hill. Now, if there's a city on a hill, it's going to be seen, ain't it? A city set on a hill. If the body of believers would come together and take their light, this little light, and put them all together, what a great light would be shining. We need this great light in Claiborne County. Amen. It's going to be only the light of Jesus that's going to bring this county out of darkness. Amen. Amen. Now, you know, we may be living fine and be happy, but our county is in darkness. Yes, it is. It's overrun with evil. Yes, it is. And wickedness. And just about everybody you meet has major problems, family problems, children problems, and a lot of people have no work. And now more and more things are beginning to add up. We're going to have to get together and let our light shine for the Lord and win people. Amen. And take care of the lost. Bring them in. Bring them out of darkness. Right. See, if we could come together, we could be a beacon. Amen. We could be a lighthouse shining out there to that big sea. See, he didn't call us to save the whole world, but he has put us right here in this county. And I mean, I'm sorry if you're not happy, you know, I'm sorry, but he's put us in this county for a reason.
Amen.
See, our steps are ordered. We don't live in this community, but we live in Claiborne County. And we've lived many places. But see, our steps are ordered by the Lord. So that's why we have submitted ourselves as believers to our pastor, because we trust that he's a man of God and that he knows what he's doing, and we don't care a bit to follow him. And we love you, Brother Bill, Sister Becky, Sister Lisa, and all of you. We're happy. We're happy here. We're going to be even more joyful when God gets us all lined up. We get our ducks in a row, and we begin to march, and we begin to do what he's called us to do. We can be that. They may be a few of us, but in God we're mighty. We can be a great army.
Amen.
And the way Brother Bill brings the word to us, we can visualize that because he has a vision. We have to get behind that vision and become part of that vision because he cannot do this by himself. This will take all of us working together. The greatest witness that we have is glowing with the light of the Lord. And I wrecked everything and I lost something. Here it is. Okay, I have something here. I know that you all will know what this is. I hope so. What is that? Can you see it? Can you see it enough to tell what it is? Yeah, it's a traffic light. Yeah, you're right. Okay, we have a red light and a yellow light and a green light. Now, I don't know if y'all know this or not, but you have a traffic light inside of you. If you don't and you don't know it, just you can have one on the outside. I'll make it for you. I made mine. Red, what does that mean? When you stop. Yes, absolutely. Stop is the voice of our conscience. It says, consider what you're doing. Stop what you're doing. Listen to the voice of God. It is our conscience. There's a yellow light that means caution. Sometimes we need to be a little bit cautious about what we say. We could kill the influence of our brothers and sisters easily. We could hurt somebody and cause them to stumble. If you go out there and you visit in the world just a little bit, I'd be safe in saying 2 out of every 4 people that you talk about is not in church anymore because somebody said something to hurt them. They took offense to it because somebody was not cautious and listened to the voice of God. We need to be cautious. And then there's a green light. And this green light means what? Go. Yes. Go ahead. Get moving. Move forward. That's what the green light means. There's another old song we used to sing, Brother Bill. It's one of my favorites. It said, there's something down inside of me that says, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. Hey, it's the Spirit of God. Do you know that song, Jack? I'll tell you who's to sing it all the time. It's a little man from La Follette. His name's Brother Tibbs. Do you remember him? Played the guitar. Sung this song. He sung this song and he sung, I want to live so the Lord can use me. Anywhere, anytime. That's the only 2 songs I ever heard a man sing. I heard him a lot. But when he would sing, he would put everything he had into his singing and played that guitar. Just if you visited churches around in the area, I think he's dead now. But he visited everywhere, and they'd always get him to sing that song. Something down inside of me. You know, we talked about that Sunday about fire shut up in our bones. It's the same difference. It's just a different way of saying it. When you belong to God, there's a part of you that feels that go ye, I call it. It's an unction. It's the voice of God's move on, get busy. It's always there. We never do too much. We're slothful. That's why our lights are beginning to get dim. The body of believers has lost the power in the church because they're letting their light go out. I have a brother that collects old lights, lamps, I guess you call them, with the hurricane globe and whatever. Oh, yeah. Cool oil, they called it. My granny had those, and we had that kerosene, yeah, too. You know, they had to take that globe off of there and clean that all the time. Well, they didn't get bright light. They didn't get light. After a few days, it became all smoked up. That's exactly what has happened to us. The cares of this life has discouraged us. And we are not even looking for nobody else's light. And if there is somebody else that's shining pretty bright, we be sure to shoot them down quickly with our tongue. You know what I'm saying? That's what we were talking about a while ago. We need to appreciate one another. If God is doing a work in somebody's life, let it be. Don't kill it before they even get strong enough to go on. We can't make them. We can't mold them. He does that. You know, that's a hard lesson to learn because we're very quick to put our opinion in there and say, oh, that ain't God. He don't use people like that. Everybody that you read about in the Bible, just about everybody that I've read about, they had faults and failures. They were infallible. God does use people. How are we going to learn if he don't ever use us? If you're walking in the light of the Lord and you make a mistake, you'll be the very first one to know it. And if you don't know it, you have a pastor that has the authority to correct you. And if you'll take it in love, when the pastor gets up and he corrects all of us, if you take it in love, you'll grow. But if you puff up and say, well, he ain't telling me what to do, then your light's going to get dimmer and dimmer. And you best get the newspaper out and start cleaning the globe. Because you won't see anymore. You won't shine anymore until you fix it. Fix it. I tell you right now, we're getting ready to exit this life. Not much time left. We're going to have to run. I don't know what it's going to take to make us realize how crucial it is and what a time we're living in and how fast it's moving. It's just like today, I'm thinking this is September, almost the middle already. This year is almost over. Another year, another month has gone by. And what have we accomplished, Lord? If we're going to be ready and prepared for that heavenly city where Jesus is, we better be getting busy. I want to go there, don't you? In the book of Revelations, the 21st verse, it says, we won't have a need for the sun there or the moon to shine because the glory of God will lighten the place and the Lamb will be the light. John saw this city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. It was adorned like a bride. We are the bride of Christ. Amen. We need to be adorned. We need to be ready. We need to be shining bright. Amen. And you know what? I don't care how simple it is presented. You know, the Bible says that his commandments are not grievous. Quote that about the fool, Jack. The fool. I can't get together. He said his ways are simple. A fool will not err therein. It can't get too simple. It does not matter. If it's the Word of God, it's important. It's magnificent. It is our lifeline. Let's get a hold of it and begin to march together. Praise the Lord.